And during these Sundays of Advent, we share the traditional reading of an Advent prophecy and the lighting of the Advent wreath. So, Susan, if you will please come at this time.
Our Advent reading today is from Luke 1, 26 to 38. Christ's birth announced to Mary. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Amen. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
The text for our message this morning, Susan has already read. I'm not going to reread that text. Its text is very, very familiar to each of you, I am sure. And it carries us to the second message of our Advent series. The entire series is identified as the message of Advent. And as we journey through these days of Advent, 4 weeks, I'm reminded as I reflect on so many different thoughts and scriptures and ideas, what a beautiful, beautiful time of the year is the season of Advent. I'm sad in many ways that so often Christians and churches skip the Advent season and jump right straight from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and all the beautiful scriptures and the Advent music is not shared. And I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired this period of time so that the Lord's people could have an opportunity, if they choose to exercise that opportunity, to take some time away from the world and its systems and its events and focus upon the spiritual message, the spiritual truth that this season affords us to consider. I believe that as we do so, it creates for us a shield of spiritual strength against so much of the formidable activities and news that we all have to deal with on a daily basis. I also believe that for those who choose to walk this path, that the days of Advent are not only days of preparation for meaningful celebration of the incarnation of Christ, but they're also days of anticipation. Oftentimes, we can focus our attention strictly upon the news of the day, the activities of the day, the sometimes stressful activities required of us each day. Advent affords us the privilege of redirecting that focus and that emphasis away from the things of the world onto the things of Almighty God, the Word of the Lord, the awesome music of the Advent Nativity season, which in my heart outranks all other musical achievements that we have year in and year out. And so once again, as I said last week, Advent will be this year, 2021, what you choose to make of it. If it's simply a Sunday morning experience, then it will be a Sunday morning experience, and by Tuesday, that experience will have faded. But if it becomes a daily participation in the news, the truths, the scriptures, the music of the season, it can be very, very, very uplifting and rejoicing our hearts before the Lord. There are four Sundays in Advent. This is Sunday number two. Our overall theme for this year's Advent series is simply entitled The Message of Advent. And each of the Sundays we are looking at a different expression of that message of Advent that comes to us from the Holy Word of the Lord. Last Sunday morning, the theme was the proclamation. The proclamation. And not just the proclamation of the coming of Christ or the birth of Jesus, but truly the proclamation that in the coming of Christ to this earth is the announcement, the proclamation of the coming of the kingdom of Almighty God. And the reminder to us who belong to the Lord that we are truly citizens of two kingdoms. We are citizens of whatever nation of birth on our earthly journey. We are also, however, by new birth and rebirth, citizens of the eternal kingdom of Almighty God, which never, never passes away. And so our thought for this particular Sunday morning is what I have called the visitations. It's plural, and it's plural for a purpose, because as you scan the entirety of the Bible, the Word of God, you will discover that there are many, many visitations that are recorded in Scripture of Almighty God. For example, who could ever forget the visitation of Father God to Moses? Now, of course, since Father God does not have a human physical form, what Moses saw was not the embodiment physically of Father God. He saw the presence and the glory of Almighty God in a burning bush of fire where the bush did not burn. And the Bible declares that Moses turned aside from whatever he was doing, keeping his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert. I find that's a key word. Not all versions of the English Bible reference that Moses was on the backside of the desert. I don't know how much difference there is from the front side or the backside. But the translators of Scripture, King James, made a point of saying that Moses was on the backside, perhaps suggesting that that was a far more remote place, a far more distant place to anticipate a visitation from Almighty God than had he been in the forefront of the desert closer to civilization. And then, as I've been reading, and some of you also, the one-year Bible, this particular time we are in the book of Daniel. And there are several accounts in the precious book of Daniel where Daniel received several visitations of Almighty God, particularly through the visitation of Gabriel, the angel. And then I was reminded this week of a scripture which I usually only read once a year in the one-year Bible. It's in the book of Joshua, where Joshua, prior to a campaign of conquest, was given a powerful visitation of one who was described as the captain of the Lord's army. The captain of the Lord's army. What a story that is. And then again, the stunning and remarkable visitation that was granted to Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 6, Isaiah, where he saw the visitation, the opening of the heavens, and the seraphim flying back and forth, declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Interestingly enough, these visitations continued all through the New Testament. There is the visitation of St. Paul in prison. There's the visitation to St. Paul in a shipwreck situation on a stormy sea, where the Lord appeared to Paul with instructions for the captain of the ship and the sailors and all who were on board. And then one of my most favorite visitations is the visitation of the angel to the apostle Peter, who was in prison, when the prison doors were opened and the prison was unlocked, and he was able to walk out of the prison, but also through the gates of the city, which were unlocked, to freedom and to testify of the power of Almighty God. Now, these visitations are, of course, focused for us during this Advent season in basically three visitations. The first of those we did not read this year. It's the familiar visitation of the angel to the priest, whose name was Zechariah. Zechariah was at work. He was at work. He was at work doing his job, which was being a priest. And according to his division and their assignment, he was on duty at this particular time in the temple in Jerusalem and attending to priestly duties and functions when the angel appeared to him and announced that his wife Elizabeth, in her advanced age, was going to bear a child. And this child would be great. And this child would be anointed. And again, those details, those little details, that child was to be named John. And at his birth, we know him as John the Baptist, who became the herald and forerunner of the beginning of Jesus' ministry, declaring the proclamation, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And of course, there is also the visitation to Joseph. I can't explain to you why, but Joseph was asleep. Perhaps that's the only time the angel could get his attention. I don't know. But being a carpenter, being busy, being about his earthly occupation as a carpenter, perhaps that was a time when his mind and his heart were free for access to the angel. Of course, sovereignly, we know that anyone is accessible to Father God any hour, any day, any time of our lives. But he had a specific message in this visitation because his betrothed, that is, the woman to whom he was engaged, had also received a visitation. And that visitation was maybe the ultimate visitation of the New Testament, announcing the birth of the one who would be the Savior of the world. Now, what was cataclysmic about this visitation was that Mary wasn't married. Mary had no relationships with any man, and she was a virgin betrothed to be married, but not married. And this represented a scandalous situation if it were to become publicly known without the truth being declared. And of course, the person who would have the foremost interest in this account would be the one to whom she was betrothed, whose name was Joseph, who upon hearing the news of Mary's being with child, I am sure, saw this as maybe worst day of his life. and struggling with her story. A story. An angel came and told me that I would become impregnated by the Holy Spirit of the living God. And at that time, the Holy Spirit had not been revealed to the entire world. I believe the Holy Spirit was quite a stranger to the people of the Jewish faith and a total stranger to those of the Gentile world. And so here comes this news and this explanation, if you will. Joseph, I have some news for you. I am with child, and the father of this child is the father of all mankind. Now hear that, swallow that, and try to go to work and go to sleep. So out of his love, mercy, and grace, Joseph receives an angel, a message in the night while he sleeps. And the message is, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a child. He will be great, and you will name him Jesus. Now, as unbelievable and amazing as that news was, we see something of the remarkable character of this man, Joseph. He's not going to be Jesus' father. In fact, Jesus' father isn't even an earthling. Jesus' father is the Heavenly Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Never happened in history before. Never happened in history since. That is why good, faithful translations of the Greek New Testament into English always refer to Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. Only begotten Son of God. And Joseph, without perhaps intellectually understanding, emotionally being able to receive this, obeyed and did as he was directed. Now, this is all familiar information to most of you, but this week, as I was pondering these visitation messages, something struck me from Scripture that I had never noticed before. I mentioned to you the visitation of Zechariah occurred while he was at work. He was at work doing his job. The visitation of Joseph occurred while he was asleep. And as Susan read this morning, the visitation of Mary occurred in her house. I never thought about the significance of that before this week. At work, at home, or asleep? At work, at home, or asleep? One is always accessible to the presence and message of Almighty God wherever we are and whatever we're doing. We don't have to be in church to have a visitation from the Lord. We don't have to be in prayerful devotion at home to have a visitation from the Lord. We could be anywhere, anytime, any place, with anyone. And should the Lord choose, he could bring forth a visitation to every one of us, or anyone on the planet, for that matter, if he chooses to do so. Father God made some powerful revelations during these visitations. And so I want to ask the question this morning, what is the meaning? What is the meaning and the purpose of these visitations? So I wrote down here a couple of principles. Number one, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Father God knows us and he sees us. We are never absent or invisible from the all-seeing presence of Almighty God. And I'm not sure we declare that clearly, sufficiently, and frequently enough. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever day it is, we are never absent from the sight, from the knowledge, from the understanding of Almighty God. Number two, these visitations teach us that Father God cares for you. He cares for me in whatever situation we find ourselves. We don't have to be in a terrible, terrible crisis to get Father God's attention. We can simply be going about our routine. We can simply be functioning as the order of the day would declare. But wherever we are, Father God cares infinitely for each and every one of his creation. Don't you wish somehow that someone would have spoken to that 14, 15-year-old teenager in Oakland County who so desperately was crying out for help? And instead of help, his parents bought him a gun. Did that strike you? I don't know what parents believe they should be giving to their kids at various stages in life. But here was a child who was in such deep trouble, tormented, actually tormented by his drawings, by his crying out, by pictures of blood spattered around everywhere, crying out, illustrating his terrible, terrible situation. But his parents buy him a gun and then take him to a practice range to teach him how to shoot it. What if they had bought him a Bible and taught him the love of Almighty God? That caused me to ask myself, what am I? What am I? What are Miss Judith and I going to give our grandchildren this year for Christmas? Well, I promise you one thing, there'll be no guns. But will we give gifts this year to our grandchildren that tickle the worldly, sensational desires of our lifestyle, and especially keeping us up with all the kids and what they have? Or will we seek the Lord to ask him, Father, what should be my gift to each of these grandchildren this year, this season? Number three. Principle number three that I gain from this is that Father God chose a personal envoy from Mission Central. Father God chose a personal envoy from Mission Central to make these visitations. One we know for sure was Gabriel. Another speaks of the angel of the Lord. And I could only think dramatically back in the Old Testament when Father God chose the chariots of heaven to bring a visitation to Elijah the prophet. Father God chooses very carefully the messengers, the envoys whom he sends to bring his word to us at any time, at any place. Father God knows which angel, which messenger, which envoy. And I dare say, on occasion, the envoy that Father chooses is another person. It's another individual who's been chosen and anointed by Father God and the Holy Spirit to bring a eternal word of truth to our situation. Now, I'm sure that if an angel came into your bedroom at night, you wouldn't have to ask, who are you? Because you always know who an angel is, because the first word of any angel when he comes upon a human situation is to say, fear not. So that's an angel. But should Father God choose to send his envoy in the person of an individual and bring you a word, would you similarly be able to receive that, not as the word of a concerned individual, or maybe the word of a nosy person, but as a true word from Almighty God? You see, in order for that to happen, you have to believe in faith. You have to believe in faith that Father God sends messengers. You have to believe in your heart that, yes, even today, Father God is still sending visitations to those to whom he chooses to bring a word and to bring a message. And I think that separates out a great many people, a great many Christians, because the church has not taught clearly, forcefully, that yes, Father God is still visiting people today. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit as his ultimate messenger to bring his word to whomever he chooses. But if we aren't teaching that in our churches, if we aren't preparing the Lord's people in expectation to discern if a message that is coming is maybe from the Lord, possibly a word for us from mission control, and to heed that word, and to, as John says in his letter, 1 John chapter 4, to test the Spirit and to see if indeed that is a word from the Lord. But if we haven't been taught, if we haven't accepted, if we haven't believed that such messages are possible, when someone reports that they've had a visit from Almighty God, we tend to sort of chuckle a little bit and say, well, if that's how you see it. Yeah, I've been there when that has been the response. And if you were to join us on our Wednesday morning prayer circles, virtually every single Wednesday morning, someone gives a word to us of a word, a dream, a scripture, a vision, which they have received from Almighty God. And the last one, the most recent one, was this Wednesday when Carol Gallup brought a powerful word of a visitation and a word from Almighty God. And many, many, many times has Lucy brought to us a prophecy which we believe is from the Lord. I don't know if everyone who hears those words accept them as such, but we deny them or refuse them or ignore them at our own spiritual peril. Now, the ultimate visitation in all history is the visitation of the Son of God to this planet. It was planned. The Bible tells us that visitation was planned before the foundations of the world were laid. But it was only when the fullness of time, that means when the time was right, when the time Father God chose, when the time was right, that's when he came. That's when Mary became with child. That's when the angels sang over the Bethlehem skies at the appointed time. The ultimate visitation to this planet. That's the news that the church has been charged to declare. That's the news that you and I have been told to share with those whom we can, so they understand why we think the way we do, why we speak the way we do, and why we act the way we do. Then, of course, there's one more visitation that I can't ignore. I speak of it at every homecoming service that I have been privileged to conduct. I call that the final visitation. That's the final visitation when you and I are preparing to draw our last breath on the earth. And unbelievably, amazingly, the Lord Jesus spoke about those moments just before we expire. And he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But I, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Each his own place. This is not a condo. This is not an apartment building. Each his own place. I don't know what it looks like. I haven't been there yet. But I believe it with all my heart. A place is being prepared for each one of you whose name is written in his book of life. He's preparing the place right now. And he comes when the place is ready and the time is right. But the, to me, miracle of it all is a chariot came for Elijah. We don't know how Enoch departed. We don't have that story. He just wasn't here anymore. But we do know about your final departure, because the Lord Jesus said, I will come. No envoy, no messenger. The Lord of history and the Lord of heaven and earth, he said, I will come and receive you unto myself. Unto myself. The last testimony I heard along those lines, I heard from Jackie Wheaton, because I had an opportunity to speak to her. She was the only one that seemed to have access to be with her brother Tony. And I said to her, be sure when you're there. Should he be translated from this world at that time, that you listen and watch for the presence of Jesus. Because he will come. That's what he said. He will come and receive Tony unto himself. And I will let her finish the testimony at her appropriate time. Now, one question for all of you before we go below. What about these visitations today? Do they happen? Do you believe they happen? Do you believe that Father God or the Holy Spirit really visit people? If you don't, you've got some problems with Scripture. You may have some questions that you'd like to discuss at a future Sunday dialogue. But I think a greater question is not, do we believe that the visitations happen in the world to people? But the question is, do we recognize them? Do we recognize them as visitations from Almighty God? Or do we chalk it off to coincidence or just happenstance or somebody said this or that? Pretty crucial question, because the answer has eternal consequences. And then one final question for you today. Do we believe that these visitations happen? Do we accept these visitations? And do we share the word with others, that truly the Lord has visited us in our circumstance? Be interesting to know how you deal with those three questions. Let us pray. Holy Father, we are inspired by your word. It's exciting to believe that not only have you made many, many, many visitations to this earth, to people that you choose, but you have visited cities, nations, schools, businesses, congregations, families. You have visited at various times and places all over the earth. Lord, I'd be so bold as to ask that this congregation, from this day forward, has a new insight into the potential visitation, whether it be a dream, a prophecy, an angel, or whatever envoy you choose. Let us believe it, let us receive it, and let us share it. We pray in Jesus' name. Go in peace and with joy, let us serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.